Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. We're very excited to have you guys here with us today. We're going to continue on in our discussion about loneliness. What we had talked about last time was the negative effects of loneliness. And today what we're going to be talking about is how do we combat loneliness, how do we challenge, and how do we overcome that sense or that feeling of loneliness. Now, if you haven't already and you've been enjoying our podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you took a little bit of time and gave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps to extend out our reach and helps people who might benefit from this to be able to find our channel. All right, guys, let's jump right in. So one of the first things we want to talk about if you're struggling with loneliness is about engaging into hobbies or interests. Because when you engage in a hobbies or interest, especially when you're doing this as some type of group activity, it gives you and the people around a focal point, something that they are then focusing on. When we're engaging into something that we enjoy, by natural extension, we start enjoying the people that we are around and doing that activity with. I know for me as an introvert, having some type of shared activity or level of interest always makes it easier for me to connect with people who I might not know that well. But then on top of that, the more regular or more frequent the interactions are, the easier it then is for me to connect. And I know for me, when I was growing up, I was always in athletics, and athletics were always a source of good connection with other people for me because they were regular activities that I was doing on a daily basis oftentimes. And then through those very consistent and regular interactions, it made it much easier to develop relationships.
And this could be going down to your local basketball court and doing a pickup game, or Tim for a long time would play racquetball and he would have normal people that he would meet there regularly, but he would also do a lot of pickup games when he was there. If you're not into sports, you can take different art classes, maybe a cooking class. And although it's just a class that you're taking, if you begin to jump into that hobby, usually different interests and hobbies have groups that meet up. So even if you do maybe a quilting class, you have no idea about quilting, but you've always wanted to quilt, maybe take a class on it and then do a little search and see, or ask the person in the class, like, hey, is there a group that meets regularly to just kind of craft together or quilt together? Or maybe it's just something that you know you love to do and you kind of start getting into it, and then you start to invite others into that realm and you are either teaching them or you're just doing it side by side together. But it really is a lower pressure situation because you all have something to focus on that you're working on, and it's not just a sit-down conversation where we're having coffee and we're staring at each other and jumping right into the deep things of life, right? But it kind of gives us that buffer where we're learning to do something together, or it's doing something that we already know how to do and that we love. And you're just getting to know the people around you, and that can help to build those connections and improve your sense of well-being and not feeling as lonely.
Because too, another major problem with loneliness is focusing on the feeling or sensation of being lonely. But if you're engaging into a fun activity that's helping you to not think about feeling lonely, but then also giving you additional opportunity because we're doing some type of group activity or doing some type of shared activity, that gives us more natural opportunities to interact with people and then by chance make a friend.
And some of the things that we talk about today will overlap in our suggestions, but the next one is physical activity, which very much could be part of interests and hobbies. But the reason we want to kind of separate this out and just make a point on this is that there is a link between exercise and the endorphins that come up, and then being able to feel more connected. And so physical activity really does a lot of good for your body, but there's additional benefits to that. As you're, you know, getting your exercise, maybe as you're playing basketball and working out that way, you're also connecting. But even just the physical act is already increasing those endorphins, which are helping you to feel better and not feeling so low.
If you're feeling pretty rough and the idea of going out and meeting new people or even engaging into some activity where you're likely to meet new people feels like too much of a burden for you to get up and go and do that, you might want to do just what we were talking about here is get in some more regular physical activity, raise those endorphin levels, and then it might not feel like such a daunting task to you. The next thing we want to talk about is reaching out to friends and family. And this may sound very rudimentary or basic, but if you are not currently connecting with people at the level that you want to and you're not happy with that, you do want to take some time and just try to reconnect with older relationships that you've had, because that's one of the easiest ways to connect with people is somebody who you already have a relationship with. Now, a lot of times people fall into this trap where they're like, well, they don't want to see me. They never reach out. And so I think something's wrong. And so I'm worried to reach out to them. But a lot of times people just stop contacting each other, not because there's necessarily any problem, but because they get busy or they get caught up into something else. So the other thing, too, is they could also be thinking the exact same thing. Well, they haven't reached out to me. Maybe I'm annoying them. Maybe I'm irritating them. I'll wait for them to contact me. So if you're really struggling with the sense of loneliness, that's one of the easiest places to start is old relationships. Trying to re-engage in those relationships is much easier than trying to create new ones.
Yeah, and I think when you do go and you meet up with them, it doesn't have to be this guilt party where you're like, I'm so sorry I haven't reached out to you. Just pick up where you left off. Just check on each other. Go into it assuming the best. And I love those types of friendships where maybe we haven't seen each other in a year. Maybe we haven't seen each other in 3 years. But anytime we meet up, we can pick up right where we left off. I have a friend that I met in college, and she's from Hawaii too, but we don't get to see each other very often. Gosh, and I think we had met up fairly recently in the last 2 years, but before that, it had been a while. And whenever I meet up with her, I love spending time with her, and it really does fill me up because there's no guilt or shame, and there's nothing like, well, why didn't you call me? Or I'm so sorry, it's been so long. We just know that both of us have really busy lives, but I still value her very much, and I value her friendship. And so when we do meet up, it's wonderful, and it really does fill me up. And so the next tip is making new connections. So once you've reached out to old family and friends and connections that you've already had, start considering making new connections. This doesn't mean that they're going to be close friends right away, right? But you're just making connections. You're getting to know people. And this could be from joining different clubs or volunteering or online communities even. I know at our library, they have a Scrabble club that meets, I think, once a month. And I haven't gone, but every time I see it, I'm like, ah, Tim, I want to go because I love Scrabble and I love word games. And that may seem uncomfortable for a lot of people, but it kind of goes back to that first one with hobbies and interests where you're all there to do something. And it's not like I'm just sitting down with brand new people that I've never met and I have to answer all these questions, but we're going to be playing something together. We have a purpose on why we're meeting. And then in addition to that, you're also making new connections. And so when I say that, a lot of things we talk about today may overlap. This is a good example of that because we're encouraging you to make new connections, but you may make those new connections through physical activity or different hobbies and interests. And then some of the things that we're going to talk about later on, a lot of those will be new connections. And like I said before, it doesn't have to be, and it's not going to be these deep friendships right off the bat, but you're just getting out there and getting to know people. And as you get to know people and as you see the way people live and how they interact, and you see people that you really connect with, then you can focus more in on that and begin to build an even deeper connection. Because it's not that every connection you meet, there's an obligation that you have to now become friends. But you do have to put yourself out there and at least become acquainted with someone in order to become friends.
So another aspect to think about is you definitely want quality over quantity relationships, but especially if you're at a place where you don't feel like you have enough meaningful connections, you do want to focus on quantity first. You want to focus on meeting more and more people so you can find those quality relationships. a while ago, we'd done a podcast on the Pareto principle, which is the 80-20 rule, meaning like 80% of the effort you put into things is only going to give you 20% of the result, but 20% of the effort you put into things will give you 80% of the result. So when you're going through this, you're trying to find, hey, these 20% of people, they're giving me 80% of my social contact. But in order to find them, you have to go through to find out, okay, who are the people that I'm really going to connect with, who are really going to end up being these good, healthy, quality relationships for me? And then once you find them, you really work at pouring more of your energy into it. But if you're at a place where you're like, man, I really don't have any social connections or not nearly enough, work on that quantity first. Hey, I'm just going to try to meet people. I'm going to try to engage into as many different activities as I can, try to join clubs or volunteer somewhere, or joining a Bible study or something along those lines where I'm likely to meet them. And then through the more quantity of people, then you can find that quality. You know, there's a couple different things where I think about, I'm like, oh, those are really good, like social activities where people tend to meet people and become friends with. And I know CrossFit gyms are one where a lot of people make friendships. Now, I'm not a CrossFit guy, so this isn't me like preaching I love CrossFit because I haven't even done it, but I just seen and heard a lot of people who make good connections in those places. Or jujitsu is another place where I think people make a lot of good social connections. Church is another place where people can make a lot of good social connections. And so really just focusing on, I need to be out where people are. If you're sitting in your house, people aren't going to be knocking down your door to come meet you and be your friend. You got to go to where people are.
Another tip that we have is leveraging technology to help alleviate some of that loneliness. And this is really a double-edged sword where it can help you begin to connect with people. But on the other hand, if you are just using technology and you're just kind of holding up at home, this could cause you to feel even more isolated.
And so it is definitely a powerful tool to find a lot more people. But online interactions are not normally as satisfying as those in-person social interactions. And not to say they're not valuable or that people don't create great relationships through that. But if you are leveraging that online activity to connect with people, you definitely want to try to press it towards in-person contact activities, because that has a more powerful emotional effect on you than just the purely online interactions.
And technology can help where it's not just meeting new people and meeting new connections that way, but even helping you to continue and maintain friendships. We saw a lot of this where people were meeting on Zoom or social media groups. And a lot of my family is in Hawaii. And so when I post pictures, a lot of it for me is, oh, for my own memory, I want to remember, you know, a year or two from now. But it's also for my family across the ocean to be able to see the family that I'm raising here. And I love to be able to see them and their growing families. And so it's not just for making new connections, but it can be very helpful in maintaining connections, especially when you're long distance. And I would say it's even helpful to even find some local groups. So I know that on Facebook, I'm a part of a mom's group within our community. And very often, actually, I see almost this friendship profile or application go up where people are saying, hey, this is who I am. This is my family. This is what I love. Are there any other moms that want to be friends with me? And then you'll see in all the comments, me, me, you know, or, oh, I love this too. And they'll start to connect. And I would not doubt it that because they're local to each other, that a lot of them probably do meet up. And obviously you want to be safe with some of that. But I do think that if you find a local group for whatever you're interested in, so that's a local moms group, and you know, they will share the different baby items that they're selling, and they'll share different parenting tips. And then, like I said, there's all these friendship things that go up. But it's the same if you can find a local crafting group, or you can find a local racquetball group, or whatever it is. And Tim is actually just smiling at me, and I had no idea what he was talking about. But he was like, oh, you should talk about the interaction we just had. So if you are an Aldi lover, you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, you might just think I'm crazy. But there is what we call an aisle of shame in Aldi, where it's a buy now or they're gone forever aisle. And usually Aldis have either one long aisle or two aisles of this. But there's a whole Facebook group dedicated to the Aldi aisle of shame. And there's a signal or call that you can do while you're in Aldi that if someone else responds to it, you know, oh my gosh, they're part of that Facebook group. So I was actually there with Tim's mom a couple of weeks ago. But as we were shopping, we noticed people were like, oh, you know, taking pictures of some of the stuff. And we started talking to them, and Tim's mom jokingly did the call, and they were like, oh my gosh, we're totally part of that group. And so one of the girls took a selfie with the four of us, and it was so funny. And since then, I've seen her post on different local moms groups, or, you know, we've become at least social media friends, and we've had a couple of interactions past that one time. So Tim is just kind of laughing because it is so random, and it was just kind of a joke that we were doing, but that girl is faithful and she is there every single week. And so I know if I want to connect with her, I know where to find her. And, you know, we haven't developed this deep friendship. It just happened recently. But those are the kind of connections that, who knows, may lead to some kind of friendship.
So the reason I wanted you to talk about that, Ruth, is because I saw it as, oh, see, there's an opportunity anywhere to meet or connect with people. And being a part of this Facebook group that you were gave this opportunity for you to connect with other people. And again, it didn't snowball necessarily into some deep, big relationship, but it's just one more opportunity for some type of connection. And so if you're out there and you're really struggling with the idea of loneliness and how do I connect with people and how do I find people, it's you just have to take opportunities when you find them. And it may seem like silly or uncomfortable, but to be honest, if you want to connect with people, there's always a certain level of uncomfortable risk that you're going to have to take. Not necessarily like that you're going to get physically hurt, but it could be uncomfortable or awkward or something like that. But if you want to find those people who are going to be your people, who you can really connect with, who you can enjoy and who you can have fun with, you are going to have to put yourself out there and take some risk of being rejected. And that's not fun. But I always ask my clients who are really struggling with connecting with people, I was like, do you have anybody who you're like super connected with, who you trust so much? And almost everybody has at least one person, and they'll be like, oh yeah, this person, and I trust them, and they know everything about me. And I always ask them, I say, what would you be willing to do or give to have one more person like that? And they would always say inevitably, like, oh, I'd give anything to have another person like that, because it's so wonderful, it's so amazing. And the thing I always point out to them is, do you know why you trust them so much? And they're like, no, I don't know why. I said, it's because you've told them everything and they haven't rejected you. They've accepted you. But it took a risk for them to share everything about themselves to this person. Now, obviously, that's not what happens on the first day you meet them. But over the course of time, they've realized, man, I've shared everything with this person. I feel so connected. I feel so comfortable. And it's because they have felt so accepted by this person. But in order to get there, there is a lot of risk you have to take along the way to make those types of connection. And so don't be afraid to take that risk. It's just a necessary part of how you deepen relationships. Now you may find out, okay, I took a risk and they hurt me. Well, that's a cue that either I need to slow down or be more careful, or maybe even this isn't the right person for me. But then if you share a little bit deeper and then they respond positively, then that's a green light for you. Hey, I can go a little bit further. And then you kind of see how that goes. But part of it is when you're doing that, it's never necessarily going to feel fun. What is fun is the end result when you feel super comfortable with them and they become this very deep, meaningful relationship for you.
And the next tip we have isn't necessarily a place that you're going to go to get out of your comfort zone and find connection with people, but it's using books and really learning more about loneliness and finding tips along the way. And some of the ones that I can just think off the top of my head is Uninvited, Living Loved When You Feel Less Than, Left Out, and Lonely, Find Your People, Building Deep Community in a Lonely World, or How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And that last book is more so even a business book, but I love reading through it because there's a lot of very tangible tips and tools throughout that book on how to connect with people and how to meet people where they're at. And so maybe right now, as you feel isolated, use that time to kind of shore yourself up and gain a little bit more knowledge and some tips along the way. And then maybe even down the road, this can be a place where you connect with people. Maybe you start a book club or maybe you attend a book club. But these are some really great books to learn and to focus on your growth right now.
One of my favorite things about How to Win Friends and Influence People is that that book was written about 100 years ago. And one thing is that you see is that people really haven't changed. They're very similar 100 years ago as they are today. But he really does have like a masterful insight into the human psychology behind connecting and understanding how to interact with people. It really was a very good book. And I remember reading through it and being like, wow, this is so great. And then I didn't know that that book was near 100 years old when I read it, because it seemed so relevant and timely, like it was written today.
Another tip we have is really utilizing community resources and support. And this could be from your local church, where you find a church in your community. And this is actually really important to us, to find a church that is close to us. And I know a lot of people travel for a long time. I traveled to a church that was far away. But the problem with that is that it's hard to get involved outside of just Sunday and going to church on Sunday. Whereas if you're going to really get involved and build community there, you need to be able to get there probably more than just on Sunday. You know, that's not always the case, but I think when we were looking for churches, it was really important for us to have one that was local, because we did want to be able to go to the different events they had and have a community group or a small group. Another example of this is utilizing community centers, different group activities that they host. Maybe going to the community events that they have in your neighborhood or in your area. And going back to the very first one about hobbies and interests, a lot of the parks and recs, they offer different classes. And they're typically lower fee than a private studio. So you can just go and check it out and maybe meet people along the way. Or like I talked about at the library, they have the Scrabble group. But really just looking around, even in your own community, and seeing what is offered. Even something as simple as going to the farmer's market at the same time every week and talking to the vendors there. I think it starts by just really getting out there.
And the last one we have is when to seek professional help. And I think in this area, there's a couple of different things that could bar us and make it extra difficult or sometimes darn near impossible to really socially connect with other people. Now, some people just need a little bit of tooling up. They just need to get some help with some social skills, understanding how to interact socially with other people a little bit better. And that's something where the books we had recommended a little bit earlier can definitely help out with. But sometimes you need a little bit more of a tailored touch. Hey, I was in this interaction and this happened and I thought this and I saw and I perceived this. How do you feel like I handled that? Is that right? Is that wrong? What should I do next time? In that interaction, you can get a little bit more insight from a professional who can help guide you and say, well, I think you're doing it right. I think maybe you just had a little bit of perception issue here. Or, yeah, actually, you know, when you said that, I can see that maybe that could have been off-putting to somebody. I might do it like this instead next time. I think that would be more helpful. Now, another thing that could be a struggle from a mental health standpoint is if you are struggling too much emotionally and you just don't have the ability to make yourself get out and go, or you just have very deep levels of anxiety or worry when you think about trying to talk or to connect with people, getting that managed and worked through can help out a lot with you being able to go and do a lot of the things that we had suggested so far in this podcast. And if your underlying mental health condition is just really this big barrier for you, then getting that addressed can help out a lot. And there's another aspect that I think people can struggle with too, is if you have an underlying negative belief system, like, I cannot trust anyone, I'm insignificant, I'm not good enough, or I'm unacceptable, or something kind of in that vein. You may be going and you may be able to do all these things that we're talking about, and you may actually be connecting with people and they may be enjoying you, but then you may not ever feel like you're actually fully connecting with them. You may have this emotional barrier that's preventing you from actually feeling the reality of what's happening in your situation. And if any of these things sound like they're the case, Ruth and I, we have created Coaching with Truth, so that we can connect with our listeners and we can help you guys work through some of these issues. So if this sounds like something that you're interested in, where you want to work on getting past loneliness, whether it's through just a means of coaching or managing the negative feelings that you have, or getting past some of these negative belief systems that may be holding you back, we have links in our description below where you can set up a free 15-minute consultation with us, where we can talk you through it and see if you feel like we're a good fit for you. Or if you'd just like to set up an appointment time, we have another link available for that. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.